There is no such thing as Jesus and me. We try to share this so strong last time from that reading from Corinthians. There just can't be. Jesus doesn't offer... The best way would be to go to the Eucharist. The Eucharist isn't a cafeteria meal where we all sit at separate tables hoarding our own food and not talking to one another, although that's the way it's very tragically often, I was going to use the word celebrated, but there's no celebration there, experienced or endured. The Eucharist is a banquet. It's Jesus in us. And so when Jesus touches you to baptize you, it's us, all of us can see Jesus freely sending salvation in your life. You bring your baby to be baptized. Suffer the children to come unto me. So you can see that the kid hasn't done anything. Don't keep the children away from me. Let them come. Let them be filled with my life. So you can see I take the initiative in saving. You don't have to do good work. I'm coming into your life today as freely as I'm coming into the life of that child before the child can even make an act of faith. I want to love you this way. So we see the baptism being offered to the child, but the whole church can understand what it's for. We all can profit from the sacrament, seeing what the church is. What is the church? An organization that starts bringing God's kingship into the life of a person, really so that the whole world can profit from it. So the sacraments make the church most present. Expressing an invisible reality. This is the purpose. Somehow to enable us to experience Jesus. Now, he's the invisible reality. I have a big phrase there of the redemptive activity of Christ. Well, that was when I didn't know Jesus. I prefer to say now, of Jesus, the Lord being present in our world to be the Christ of our lives at this moment, to say this. So this sacrament is supposed to help us really understand what Jesus is doing for us at this moment. His saving us. His emptying himself of his spirit as completely as he emptied himself of his life from the cross. We're supposed to see that in this Jesus is saving us and saving us freely. So when this sign is offered, any one of them, the work of the church can be offered in a very, very real way. The work of what Jesus is doing is invisible. The work of the church is invisible. The sign can introduce us to that. Now we're coming to some understandings of what the sacraments of the church mean. The sign ensures, guarantees, that there is now an opportunity to grow in God loving us. It doesn't mean that God is going to love us more. Some people who don't understand, because sometimes we don't put it clearly, our sacraments in the church, get a little bit upset. When baptism is offered, there's a very real activity for this individual and for the whole church to grow in experiencing the love of God. Now that could sound like we have some control over God. That a priest could go into the church and he can celebrate a mass, and he controls God. Seen like this, people who would understand the sacraments this way, unfortunately, are not having the wonder of our God properly explained. The initiative isn't with man. Bethlehem is not man climbing the heavens, it's the heavens coming down and walking the earth. And our God has come down. The Father sent and sends Jesus to give us and all men his life and his love. That's the mission of Jesus. The Son of Man has not come to be served, but to serve. So Jesus sets up a community to continue his mission. He sets up a people to continue to allow God to serve us through him. This is the mission of Jesus. And it never ends. You know, eternity is timeless. Jesus has a constant mission. There is no end to it. To serve you and all of your brothers and sisters on this earth. The church is the organization that Jesus sets up to allow you to experience his mission, to touch it. There's other ways, and we'll talk about those. But one certain way that you're supposed to be able to understand what Jesus is doing for you is by the continuing presence of his church. What therefore does the people of God, making it its most unified, the Catholic Church, exist for? The church is that group which has a mission, a command, a commission. That's what an apostle is, incidentally. There's two Greek words for send. One is, hey, you know, you're bugging me. So you send the kids out. They're you know, I mean, the kids are getting on your nerves, so you send them to a movie. That is not the word that is used for apostle. Apostle is when you make a person an agent. You send him with a mission for you. And he is you and you are him in their thought. The church is, we are ever an apostolic church. We exist with a mission, the mission of Jesus. So every breath we take, we're supposed to let you know what Jesus is doing through all of eternity, which is bringing the Father's healing love into your life. Therefore, when the church has a priest or a deacon or a bishop or someone else offer a sacrament, it is accepting its mission. It's not commanding God. It is being obedient to God. When you properly understand what it's all about. We're not making God present. God has come down from the heavens and he's told us, look, you're my people. You continue to let my people know that I'm coming down from heaven into their life, that I'm really breaking into history, to your story, to their story, to touch them. So you obey me. Do this in memory of me again and again and again. So we don't make God present. The sacraments, when offered, are signs that the church is accepting its mission from Jesus. Two important points about sacraments. Doesn't make any difference what the minister is like. Now that upsets a lot of people. When that water is poured, it can be by the holiest person in the church or the unholiest. And it doesn't make any difference. Jesus is still present. He is still coming with his Spirit to wash clean. There's a very common sense reason for this. If, for example, you had never been baptized, you come for baptism. If the presence of Jesus is dependent upon the minister offering the sacrament, you can't crawl inside me. You can't get inside me to know what's going on, so you could never be sure that you were being offered Jesus. It makes no difference as far as Jesus, because he has his mission. That mission is present for you. The Spirit of Jesus is offered you when the water is poured. You can have a priest who just picks it up and he says, go therefore, you know, I baptize you in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. No, I baptize you in the name of the Father and the Son, three spades, and the Holy Spirit. Jesus is there. He's doing it. You're open. You'll experience it. This sounds shocking and makes it start sounding like magic, but it isn't. It isn't at all. The same is true, incidentally. This is where many of our Christian brothers will take objection to us. But they would kind of believe the same thing is true of their great way of Jesus coming. There's two equal ways. The Catholic tradition has been very, very great in its understanding of sacrament. Our fellow Christians have been very, very great in their understanding of Jesus coming in word. And we've always kept the word in our Mass, but we'd read it in Latin. We really didn't appreciate its meaning. They kept the word and very often dropped the sacraments. They'd only have the Eucharist maybe once a month, maybe once a quarter. Today, we're both enriching each other and understanding that Jesus comes both ways. Take a look at our church. We have Jesus represented in the bread and the tabernacle. We have Jesus represented in the living word on the other altar. He comes both ways. Our fellow Christians have helped us see this in a way that was in our tradition, but we really didn't grasp it fully. But they'll tell you that you can have a sinful minister preach the word. You can have a sin-filled minister read the Bible, and the Bible is the living word of God, and you'll experience something. Boy, there's a fabulous story I know on this. It's just great. I don't know if I shared this in an earlier class or not, where this Episcopalian priest, this is true. Father Joe Lang tells it. the Episcopalian priest told it to him. Was preaching, and there was this guy who was always grouchy for years and years and years, and in the middle of the sermon he lights up. And the priest, he just stays light. You know, there's real peace shining out of his eyes and everything. And the priest can't wait to find out what he said. You know, we're very humble like this. Hey, tell me what turned you on. What did I say? Give me the word. And so the priest rushed, you know, at the end of the service, he's at the door, and the guy comes out. He's still beaming. And he says, hey, you did it. You really did it for me today, Father. And the priest says, ask the dangerous question. What did I say? Because often people say, well, I don't remember. And the guy says, it was when you said, that ends the first part. Now let's go on to the second. And the priest says, what do you mean? And he says, when you said those words, I heard Jesus telling me, that ends the first part of your life. It's time to go on to the second. And I was free. Jesus can take anything. The word doesn't depend upon the preacher. The word depends upon the power of Jesus and his spirit. Now there is, so in both of these, so like I'm sharing this because a lot of Protestants who will challenge what I've just said for sacraments will accept it for the preaching. The holiness of the preacher isn't going to be the decisive factor in how the spirit of Jesus will operate when the word's read from their pulpits. I'm sure they wouldn't hold this. The Spirit of Jesus acts through his living word. In the same way, the Spirit of Jesus acts through the sign. So now, as far as Jesus being present, he is present. You know that. You don't have to worry when the sign is offered. But let's take common sense. The preacher, the minister, will have a heck of an effect upon you as a real person. He can make it far more difficult for you to experience Jesus. The first time I was godparent, the priest was just, it was a scandal. You know, he just could have picked it up, and this would be the way he would have done the baptism. The way I've lived since my youth, this is a reading from the book of Acts, and the life I've led among my own people from the beginning, and later at Jerusalem, as well known to all the Jews, it sounded like he had to get back and watch a television game, and just went right through it as automatic. That was hard for me, it was hard for the parents, to experience what Jesus was doing. So, the minister can make a big difference on the way you have Jesus, you have the minister, and you have the individual and the church receiving the sacrament. The minister can make it much more difficult for the individual to be open to Jesus. But it doesn't make any difference. Jesus is there. The same way, you read the word well, it's easier maybe for people to be touched by the Spirit than if you read it in a terrible way. But Jesus can still operate. You can have a priest who just doesn't care. He's never allowed God's life to come in. He's, you know, completely away from God. And he's just doing it for the money. That's me till Jesus really came into my life. And yet I still baptized people and the Spirit of Jesus came into their life. So that's what this point means when it's independent of the minister. You don't have to worry about my intention or holiness. The worst minister pouring water, the best minister pouring water, Jesus is there. However, it certainly can make a big difference on how a person receives it. We have had a Latin phrase in the church, I'll give it to you, because it has led to many priests don't understand it. Ex opere, operato. Opere, operato. That means, in a sense, the sacraments work automatically. And that was so misunderstood by priests. It was applied to the person receiving and the church, well, to the individual, rather than to the priest. It was supposed to, this is supposed to be, that when the minister has done, poured the sign, when he pours the water, the sacrament works automatically. Jesus is there. That's all it meant. It does not mean anything yet as far as the individual. There is nothing automatic when you coming into contact with God. The great examples of this, to show you how this was misunderstood, there's some funny stories in Catholic hospitals. Not understanding this, feeling that the sacraments worked automatically in the past. Good-hearted nuns would almost, well, you never know how many Jews were baptized on the operating table. You know, there'd be a nun in the operating room, they'd put them out under the ether, and the nun would quickly get some water and just dab it on, and quietly mumble, "I baptize you in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit." You know, figuring that the sacrament works automatically. He's baptized now, now he can get into heaven. We'll talk about, don't let that phrase disturb you at all. They felt that without that he could never, this good Jew could never get into heaven. They wanted him to get into heaven. They were really doing things great. "I could pour the Atlantic Ocean on you, and if you don't want to be baptized, nothing happens. God gave you freedom, and he isn't going to take it away. You could go to confession in one church to the Pope and then to 10 cardinals and 4 archbishops, and if you're happy with you're not accepting God's love, God isn't going to force reconciliation upon you. You can come to the Lord's meal every Sunday and not want to allow love to fill you and to feed you and to become the basis of your life, and nothing's going to happen. Jesus comes to us most completely in the Eucharist. One Eucharist is enough to make everybody holy for eternally, because it's all of Jesus. Why are we all such slobs after we go to receive Jesus again and again and again? Why is there so much sinner part of the saint? Simply because we're not offering enough to Jesus. You know, his timetable and all the rest. But this is, so the fact that the sacraments work automatically means that when the minister does what he's supposed to do, Jesus is there. That's the automatic part. Behind the sign, Jesus is, since this was the whole reason he told the church to have the sign, Jesus is present to heal. If the sacraments made anyone holy, and you'll hear that phrase, then God has destroyed freedom. The sacraments cannot make anyone holy in the sense of that they're not receiving. People in the past were just told to go to the sacraments, and there was no change because they didn't want any change. What I need is a desire to be changed, a metanoia, the desire to change, turn the direction of my life, to stop living by my own weakness and let Jesus be more, be complete, if I could do that, the Lord of my life. So, they do not depend upon the holiness of the minister. When the minister performs the sign, Jesus is there. But there is nothing automatic about Jesus touching you. There's nothing automatic about Jesus touching a church. We must be open to receive. The sacraments guarantee us that Jesus is here, but they're not the only way that activity is made present. You can find Jesus and experience him in creation. I can hear Jesus every so often in popular songs, in folk music, in Western songs. I'll just keep substituting whatever the love theme is, I put Jesus in. And I've had some solid spiritual experiences, great holy moments of experiencing God's love in my life through this. You can, you know, I just a month ago saw the Rockies for the first time. I think they're a sacrament of God. You can experience him there. They're a visible sign of the invisible majesty and wonder and awesomeness of this God who's loving us. And all that love is being offered us. That's sacramental. You can experience God in private prayer. You can experience God from some individual who really has a profound effect upon your life. That certainly has happened to me. The people who had such beautiful ability to live sober and to live at peace when I couldn't, when I was living drunk with no peace. They were sacraments of something different, and they brought God in. But there's no guarantee that that will work for everybody always. And the difference is our God is guaranteeing that the church is a sacrament of Jesus. And when these 7 are offered, the church will be understood for those who are looking with faith. That's the other thing. See, I've got to look. There's nothing magic. I've got to look with the eyes of faith. It's a washing. So what? If I make it a social service, nothing happens. So many people looked at Jesus and they saw a great man. People still do. That's one of the saddest things for me to hear. People who say that Jesus was great. Really, if you think that Jesus was great, you and I are not reading the same book. He is God or he is nothing. He is God or he's a liar. And a man who lies is not great. To make him just a great prophet is to misread. I can't find that. I find him then to be a deceiver, because he said he was far more than that in this book. Anyway, there's many ways we can find Jesus, but this is a guaranteed way, and that's important. However, Jesus enters the world. It does the world no good unless the world wants to be changed. Jesus walked into the light in that'd be trying to impress you with my own stupidity. He walks into the life of Peter and Andrew and James and John, and he says, "Follow me." All of the Father's love was right there for him, but it wouldn't do him any good if they stayed at their boat. They wouldn't know it. He walks into the life of a crook, and he says, you know, a tax collector, a criminal, and he says, "Follow me." It wouldn't do him any good if he didn't follow him. He's walking down the street and there's another crook, and he looks up, a little short runt who has to climb a tree to see him. He says, "Zacchaeus, come on down from that tree. I want to eat at your home." Zacchaeus says, "Nuts, I'm not going to feed you. I'm going to stay where I am." Wouldn't do him any good. Salvation, today salvation has come to this house. Today being saved is breaking into your house. That's the message of Jesus. But if Zacchaeus wasn't willing to believe it, it wouldn't do him any good. This whole thing where Jesus in the sacraments, we're being offered every spiritual blessing in the heavens. But if we think we're poor, it does us no good. If we want to live as poor, if we refuse to accept love, if I refuse to allow God to love me, then I'm living poor inside, because I've done it. If I feel I've got to earn my love and then live it, I'm still going to be poor. So in baptism, a person must want to live a new life. In communion, he must want to swallow perfect love and swallow the whole community in love and allow himself to be swallowed in love by the community. I'll explain those. They may sound mysterious, but when we get to the Eucharist, I'll try to share that with you. Through the sacrament of reconciliation, he should want to respond anew to Jesus' call to turn the direction in which he's living and to allow Jesus to bring order into the disorder of his life. These are the effects there are effects that the sacraments have when they're properly received. For a moment, there's the big question, well, why are there seven? If Jesus is the sacrament and the church is the sacrament of Jesus, why do we need seven? Why shouldn't there just be one sacrament? There is only one Jesus, but he's so rich that he touches, and our life is so varied, he touches us as we need to experience him. My answer to someone who would ask that question would be very simple. It would be, why are there four Gospels since there's only one good news? There's the Gospel as experienced by Matthew. The Gospel as experienced by Mark. There's Jesus as experienced by those who are first receiving him in baptism. Jesus is experienced by those who are being confirmed with his Spirit. Jesus in the sacrament of confirmation. Jesus who are, as he is being experienced by those who are allowing him to feed them through the sacrament of the Eucharist and discovering full unity. Several of the sacraments have the initiate us. There's three here. Baptism brings the life of Jesus into us. Confirmation initiates us into a new level of living Jesus. We now are not just following him, we have his mission. And holy orders, the one to the priesthood, initiates us into full service. Those are sacraments that initiate, and once the initiation is done, the person enjoys that initiation forever. That's a part on the other side. In case you ever read an old book, these are the sacraments that confer a character. That was the word, an invisible mark. From now, once a person's baptized, we have this in our creed and we'll cover it again, they're always baptized. They may not want to live as sons of God, but they eternally are sons of God. They are one with Jesus. They may say no. They may not want to acknowledge it, but the Father is always calling them sons. Once they're confirmed, Jesus is giving them a mission, and he'll never take that mission back, and he guarantees all of his Spirit to carry that mission, to carry his love to others. Often I don't want to love others. That's okay. When I do, Jesus gives me what I need to love you. In holy orders, everything that the church is needed, that an individual needs to serve the needs of the church, is offered to Jesus. So some sacraments initiate us. Some sacraments reestablish us. The sacrament of reconciliation will renew my unity with Jesus and with his people. Some sacraments strengthen us. The Eucharist is a sacrament of feeding. Penance, marriage, and the anointing strengthen us to meet particular, I would say, problems. I don't want that anymore. That's a very negative way of saying it. This would be on the top of page 7. Some sacraments strengthen us to use completely the opportunities of particular vocations. You want to see how to change a day? I read this sentence. God grant me the strength to meet all the blank of this day. And what I would have written would be, God grant me the strength to meet all the problems, trials, difficulties of this day. What the person writing the prayer wrote was, God grant me the strength to meet all the opportunities of this day. And what a difference it makes on the same day. You get up tomorrow morning and you ask God for the help to get through every difficulty, you'll just drudge your way through. You get up tomorrow morning, you ask God for the help not to miss any opportunity, and it's going to be a much more exciting day. So that's why I wrote negatively there and would like to change it again. I've shared about the three sacraments that confer special character. They're received only once. We believe in the Catholic Church that the sacraments are instituted by Jesus. In a general way, first, Jesus is given a mission. He is apostled by the Father. The Church, then, is apostled. It is the sacrament of Jesus. And in making Jesus present, the Church has these 7 moments. Some of them Jesus specifically gave us. Others are implied in the mission of the Church. By the Church having the role to bring the healing love of Jesus into our life, Jesus would imply that the Church can in certain ways touch us. Finally, the Church therefore has, there's 2 parts to a sacrament, the invisible and the visible. The visible is a sign that's supposed to help us understand the invisible. The Church, since has a role of, in every culture, making the visible meaningful. For example, there might be a day when in the sacrament of the anointing, the Church would change from oil to iodine, so that in the 20th century, people could understand better the sign. When the sacraments are conferred, they used to be done in Latin. That was so sad because Jesus didn't speak Latin. He spoke Aramaic. He spoke the Father's love in a language that people could hear and understand. And the sacraments have to be offered. The visible sign has to be offered in a language that people can hear and understand. The prayers in English and the signs meaningful. If water became totally polluted, water then probably would not be a good sign for baptism. So the Church changes the signs. And we're right now at the tail end of a time when all of the signs have been revised in their prayer and a little bit in the way that they're administered to make clearer Jesus touching us in unique ways. The sacraments thus help us to celebrate our existence. They're a use of the common to introduce the mystery, the mysterious as an experience. They're connected with a word. It's the same Jesus. There's a beautiful story in the Gospel of Luke where 2 men, we shared this one before, are walking from Jerusalem to a town called Emmaus. And Jesus comes and joins them, and they don't know who he is. And they're upset by what's going on in their world. So Jesus, for what's happened to Jesus. So he takes scripture and he unfolds scripture and they're feeling so good. They don't know who it is. And they are ready to stop for a meal and Jesus looks like he's going to go on. So they stop him and they say, please, join us for a meal. And he takes bread and he breaks the bread and they know it's Jesus. And then he disappears. Now, it isn't just in the sacrament that they experience Jesus. They experience Jesus in the Word also, as he was breaking the Word. The fullness of Jesus they experience in the Eucharist because that's everything. It also, the meaning of what Luke would have been trying to communicate would have been lost if it were all found just in sacrament. I mean, in Word. So Jesus comes to us through the Bible. Jesus comes to us, these are the most normal ways, in sacrament. But as I tried to share with you, both of these are offered us by the Church. The church is not religion, the Bible is not religion, and the sacrament is not religion. Jesus is religion. Jesus loving us. It is so easy to take all three of them and make them things. To see the Mass as a thing rather than a loving God touching you, begging you to come to church so he can feed you. That's the Mass. God has begged you to come here so he can work a miracle for you. Now that makes it great, but we see it as a thing. We're praying, the priest does things, and it loses so much. Many Protestants have made God's living word a thing. And it's very, very sad. I listen to some of their services on the radio, and a lot of them have gone from the word, which is the Bible, to the sermon. And their services really are a celebration of the sermon that has very little to do with the Bible.